Behind the Wheel.
Behind the Wheel, where motoring starts.
Alrighty, it's not a buckle up or a fill up with unleaded opener today. It's a pop your life jacket on.
Ah, now that's something. You know, I've been behind the wheel of many things, but not really anything that goes to sea all that much.
Is it behind the tiller? No, you can't go behind the tiller, because if you went behind the tiller, you'd fall off the end of the boat, wouldn't you?
You would, actually. Yes, well said. Right. Well spotted.
Okay. Why are we having a nautical theme all
I
of a sudden?
I was wondering this. Please enlighten
all
us.
Right. Old mate Nick from Lexus, Nick Rahman.
Yes?
Lovely bloke. He's been on the show many times.
And represents amazing cars, lovely cars.
Love the Lexus. And
yep,
in fact,
me too.
You're going to take us for a drive around the block in a Lexus in just
am.
A few minutes.
And
the,
it's one I just want to, stump my money up and buy one. That's
wow.
How much I enjoyed it. It
right.
was really good.
It's not really called the RX-7. It's called the RX-L.
It's the RX-450. RX-450L.
H. Oh, no. You forgot the H.
HL.
Well, it's their big SUV.
The name is actually longer than my review of it. The review is, I loved it. The name, well, it goes on and on.
Right. Okay. So you're going to take it to this Lexus. We got Nick from Lexus on. But back to the nautical theme. Nick is going to tell us about a new yacht that's been released.
Yes.
Made by Lexus.
A yacht. Well, isn't that amazing?
And they've actually got some promo shots of it, and it's being towed, or it's just been delivered down the boat ramp into the water by the new Lexus UX or UX.
Tell me about the Lexus UX. Am I allowed to UX?
Well, Nick will tell us more about the UX. I believe it's going to be sort of an entry-level, smaller SUV from Lexus, so below the NX.
Oh.
Which kind of makes sense.
And
because
it
tows
boats?
Well, it tows the Lexus yacht, I think.
That's good.
Although I didn't actually see the trailer on the back, so maybe it was just a photo op. I don't know. Nick Rahman is the man to answer all those
He'll
questions.
Tell us.
He's on the show shortly.
Yep, he knows.
Simon Lai, he's going to be on the show driving a Holden Equinox, and then he'll be joined by the gorgeous Rachel Franco, who's back to her cars in clips mode. So she's she's been sitting up on a Saturday night watching Rage is what's been going on. And she's I love that song.
Yes.
After about four Chardonnays.
Oh, yes.
Maybe five.
Yes.
Oh. And look, that's the clip's got a car in it. I'll talk about that on the show.
Oh, Rachel, he's just joking. We know you don't even touch the stuff, but it's a little joke. We could all enjoy it.
So an Aussie flavour with Rachel and her cars and clips and Simon with his Holden Equinox.
Yep.
We're going to speak to a bloke as well, known in some circles at least, as the Brick Man. His mum calls him Ryan, and he's a guy who's got, I believe, a young family, and he makes his living out of Lego.
Well, there you go.
What
it just goes to show.
What a gig.
Well, I think it'd be good fun, actually.
Wouldn't it?
As long as you didn't have to do a bathroom break in the middle of the night and stand on one of the blocks.
Well, that comes with the territory.
Yes.
Maybe you get hardened soles of your feet when you do that. I don't know. But Ryan, he's going to be along a little later. We've got all the usual hoo-ha, but it's probably time to stop this bit of hoo-ha, head into the stairwell, down to the garage.
Yes.
And in fact, I'm going to throw it over to you. I'm going to the cafe, I think.
Oh, no.
I've driven the Lexus. You can take us around the block.
No, you're coming with me. This is the 2018 version of the Lexus RX450HL. It's now a 7-seater for 2018.
So the L goes after the H, not before the 450.
No, it goes after the H, and it's a very impressive SUV as far as I'm concerned. Beautiful cabin, great ride. You get used to the multimedia electronic system.
The mouse.
Entertainment. I like the mouse now.
No, you can't.
I used to hate it, but I like it now. And I like the little folding, the door pockets.
Yeah.
They fold out. How amazing.
Clever.
If you've got a wide drink bottle that won't fit in, you just... I always sound angry when I do that. I'm only joking. It'll fold out, and you can fit all sorts of stuff in there.
And do you stuff your soft serve ice creams down in there
I saw a movie the other day about sugar, and I thought, I think it's time I took a break from that.
Right.
So we won't be eating cake again until next week. No cakes. No soft serve ice creams. Maybe till next time. Anyway, let's go and have a look.
I'm going to sit in the back and hold the mic. You're in the driver's seat.
I think you're actually going to like it. First of all, let's just take a look at it from the outside. Here I am in front of the 2018 Lexus RX 450 HL. Yes, it's an SUV and a big one too. In fact, this is the 2018 model, as I mentioned, and because of that, it comes with two extra seats in the back. So it actually is a seven-seater. Now, I'm standing outside it, and of course, it's a very imposing vehicle with that distinctive spindle grille. On the number plate there, it says hybrid, because of course, this is a hybrid, which brings petrol consumption for a vehicle of this size down a bit. This time it's about 6 litres per 100 kilometres. Well, that's what it's rated as. As well as the hybrid propulsion, it has a V6 motor just to keep you moving, and it does move along very nicely, I must say. I'm out here on a fairly busy street. Let's just jump in and see how it is inside, because one of the things you notice particularly about this large Lexus is it's very quiet to operate. So jump in with me and we'll close the door with that nice satisfying thunk and look at the cabin. How beautiful is this? It's a kind of cream and chocolate coloured upholstery that's been doing the rounds a little bit lately in Lexus. I've noticed in a couple of other models. Lovely stitching and beautiful attention to detail along the dash. I very much like the leather trim. It's very well laid out, actually. Comfortable seats, very adaptable seats. Rain-sensing windscreen wipers. There's adaptive LED headlights, fog lights, running lights, whatever lights you want, and they light up nicely when you approach the car at night time with the key in the hand. Adjustable heated side mirrors, memory function there, hands-free power tailgate, 20-inch alloy wheels, which look the part, roof rails, privacy glass, three driving modes, and there's more. It is a Lexus after all, so there's a luxury list as long as your arm. There's plenty of room in the cabin, certainly in the front row and the next row back. Not so much the one behind that, but you wouldn't really expect that, I suppose. But there is quite a list of accessories if you'd like to spend a little more money. If you want specialty floor mats or a boot liner option or a bull bar or roof rack or rear seat entertainment system, well, you might like to lash out and get them, as well as a panoramic sunroof, which is at least $3,500. This car doesn't actually have a sunroof, and I don't really mind that because I'm not actually all that fond or in love with sunroofs. I never have them open because it's not very sun smart, and if you have them up a little bit, well, they just whistle. So I could quite happily do without the sunroof. So I'll keep my $3,500. Thank you very much. This week I have found it a really good car to live with. It's got enough room in the back. Even behind the two extra seats, it's got enough room for your golf clubs and a few other things back there. If you have those two rear seats folded down, the boot is actually quite huge, so there's plenty of room for whatever it is you want. And the prices, well, it depends on what you want. I think this one's in the 90s. They start about 75 and go up to 105 or thereabouts, give or take a bit. So it's luxury, it's a premium brand from Japan, and I think it's an enjoyable car to drive and live with.
The ideal family vehicle has seven seats, is spacious, practical, luxurious, and realistically priced. The new Havel H9 ticks all those boxes. The 2018 Havel H9 has just landed in Australian dealerships and boasts a turbocharged 180kW engine, 8-speed auto transmission, and more of the luxuries car buyers have come to expect from Havel. With 7 seats, great off-road ability, and a 5-year warranty, this is the ultimate family adventure SUV. Visit your Havel dealer to see what everyone is raving about, or havel.com.au.
You've heard us on the radio. Now check out the Behind the Wheel website. At behindthewheel.com.au, you can browse all our latest car reviews and car product reviews too. You can also watch our video car reviews and check out all the latest auto news. And make sure you leave your comments. Give us feedback, ask for advice, or just let us know all about your car. behindthewheel.com.au, where motoring starts.
Behind the Wheel.
On the road. Accelerated by behindthewheel.com.au.
Yeah. Yeah, lots still to get through. We're going to talk Holden Equinox with Simon Lai. We're going to talk cars in music clips with Rachel Franco. She's been up watching Rage again. Joel Helms, he's along behind the wheel of a V6 version of the all-new Toyota Camry.
Very much so.
And we're going to talk to a guy who's built a Camry by hand here in Australia. Manufacturing is not dead. It just happens to be in Lego.
Yes, it gives a remarkable economy, but it doesn't go very fast.
That's right, yeah. CO2 neutral, all that sort of stuff. Hey, look, a guy, an old mate of Behind the Wheel, he's been a busy man, hard to track down, but we finally pinned him down, fresh off the plane from the Geneva Motor Show. It is the awesome Nick Rahman from Lexus. G'day, Nick. How are you going, man?
Oh, good afternoon, Chris and Peter. Great to be back with you guys. Yeah, it was a very good trip. Thank you very much.
And what sort of things did you see that you just loved at the show?
Well, Peter, Geneva as a show in general is pretty impressive. It's where the entire industry meets. It's early in the year, so everyone really wants to get on each other's radar. So you've got a lot of big reveals. For Lexus, it was big because it was the reveal of the UX, which is going to be a entry SUV. Mm-hmm. It sits below NX, so it's a completely new opportunity and a new option for people in the market. Quite a small vehicle, very compact, very much an urban-style SUV. So pretty exciting for Lexus and the market in general.
Would it have anything to do with the very funky and, I think, probably class-leading Toyota CHR? Kind of, is it about that size?
Yeah, that's right, Chris. Yeah, exactly. And with our global company, we share some technologies there. So the new platform that this car will sit on is very much about agility and getting around town really smoothly. With a nice ride. It'll have some interesting powertrains. We'll have a naturally aspirated 2-litre engine as well as a hybrid. So there'll be some interesting options there, as well as a full palette of colours to suit everyone's taste. So it's going to be an interesting car.
And have you had to slap anyone yet for calling it the UX?
Oh, not yet, Chris. That's the first time I've ever been asked that. But that's not reliable, bro.
We ask the hard questions here. You know where we're coming from.
That's a good one. Thanks, Chris. No, you're the first.
Tell you what, I must say, having tested a little while back the CHR, I absolutely loved it. So if it's picked up any of those handling characteristics, I reckon it's going to be a real winner. And I've also just finished a highly enjoyable week in the Lexus RX 450HL. Which,
oh, good, Peter.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh, that car is so terrific, and it really grows on you. After a week, I thought, I think I might just accidentally purchase one of these. I love it.
Yeah, that's good, Peter. It's nice to hear that your impression was enhanced, I guess, after a week, because that's really what the message we try to get across is that it's not just something that you appreciate after one day. You need to have the car for a little while to fully appreciate all the interior convenience features and just the way it rides and handles on the road too. So that's good to hear.
Speaking of that family resemblance, we're talking about the RX before, the new, the UX, excuse me, no, yeah. the UX, tell me, is it going to have the same glorious, you know, fit and finish in the cabin that the RX has got?
That's a good question, Peter. It will certainly, because the chief engineer of the car, Chika Kako, she is a materials engineer, and her background is all about creating amazing textures and quality of finish. So you can be rest assured that when that arrives, you open the door and even close it. You know, that's the old test of the quality of the car. When you close it, to see how nice it sounds when the door closes, that the UX will certainly fulfill and exceed the brief there for quality of construction and refinement. So something to look forward to.
Now, Chris showed me a photograph of the UX, and attached to it was a Lexus yacht. Tell us more.
Yes. Yeah, well, the first Lexus sport yacht concept was released at the start of last year. That was a 42-foot version, and there was no announcement for production at that time. But people who were at that launch thought, well, Lexus is going to build this, aren't they? So that now we're going to see a 56-foot version of this luxury yacht.
That's a big boat.
It is, yeah, a big power boat. A lot of people said, you know, Miami Vice style.
Excellent.
wearing the loafers and the white pants and the pastel colored blazers.
They've come back in fashion, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No socks and suit pants, have they?
That's right. So that's pretty exciting. We're yet to hear any details of actual launch timing and availability, but just very exciting in general to expand beyond automotive into the luxury items. So it's a very interesting time.
It's kind of a logical step when you think about it, because especially in the US market, those luxury add-ons that cars bring out, or luxury sidelines like sunglasses, accessories, caps and so on.
Taking it to the next level. Now, talk about taking it to the next level, the LS, the beautiful limousine that comes from Lexus.
Yes.
It's been recrafted, refined and re-engineered for this year. When are we going to see the first of those on Aussie roads?
Well, Chris, that's launching in mid-April, so
not far away at all.
A few weeks away, yeah, and that's going to be a really exciting addition to the range. It's actually the first new LS we've had in about a decade, so a long time coming. It's going to have some amazing craftsmanship elements in the interior. There's a brand new powertrain, 3.5-litre twin-turbo V6, so that's a real talking point. It's only available in long wheelbase, so what you do get there is an amazing amount of space inside. The top grade model, it's called the Sports Luxury, has a metre of legroom in the rear. So,
fantastic.
With Shiatsu massage. So there's something to look forward to for you two gentlemen as well, for sure.
That's excellent. Now, it seems that most car makers going down the path of electrification. Any plans for Lexus to come out with a pure EV?
Those things are always under study, Chris. I think that we've taken already a big step towards that with our hybrid vehicles. We've had those for a long time.
You guys are pioneers in that, really.
Well, that's right, indeed. And that formula's been constantly evolved and developed. So, in fact, the UX that we've been talking about today will have the latest generation hybrid system, which enhances the range and ability to provide a dynamic driving experience. So we're really developing a hybrid that obviously keeping an eye on what's happening in the industry at all times.
Excellent. As always, mate, it's great to talk to you. You're always a wealth of knowledge. And look, we look forward to getting you back on the show, I suppose, in a few weeks' time, mid-April, when we see the launch of the Lexus LS.
Indeed. Look forward to it. Thanks very much, gents. Appreciate
good on you, Nick. Thanks, heaps, mate.
Have a good day. Thank you.
Yep, product review time, and your car, well, it just isn't finished until you get yourself a set of Alltrex number plate protectors. Alltrex has been the leader in number plate protectors for years now, and there's some really good reasons why it's the case. Well, first of all, they're Australian-owned, and that means you can pick up the phone and talk to someone from the company anytime you like. Well, within business hours, in Australia at least. Secondly, their product not only fits properly and looks great, it's also the strongest and most durable available. And because the team at Alltrex are locals, they're right on top of all the different sized Australian number plates and variants, which means you won't miss out. So don't sell your car short. Get the best number plate protector on the market. You can even get personalised messages inscribed on them too, if you like. To get it, head to the Alltrex website. That's alltrex.com.au.
One of the smartest and most versatile products in the Alltrex Auto Accessories range is Skin's Invisible Protection Film. Apply to your car's headlights or paintwork to protect from stone chips and road debris damage without affecting aerodynamic efficiency or the look of your car. You can use the ultra-thin and strong film on items around your house, such as windows, furniture and white goods. Order a roll now at altrex.com.au or pick some up at your local auto accessory retailer. Skin's Invisible Protection Film. The clear choice in paintwork and headlight protection, and a whole lot more.
For the latest truck and bus industry news, visit heavyvehicles.com.au. We bring you coverage of the latest new models, new technologies, and issues that matter to owners and drivers. Read heavy vehicle reviews, and you can win some great truck-related prizes too. heavyvehicles.com.au. Truck and bus news every day.
Behind the wheel.
Behind the wheel, where motoring starts.
Yeah, loads to get through on this week's show. We are going to talk to Joel about a Toyota Camry in V6, guys. They used to be called Vientas. And then
they were, weren't they?
Yeah, named after a nice biscuit. Was there a Vienta
an
biscuit?
An ice cream biscuit, I think it sounds like it.
Yeah.
Probably neither of those things, but never let the facts get in the way of a good story,
exactly,
Chris.
Exactly right. Then it became an Orion, and now it's back to just a V6 Camry. And while we're on the subject of Camrys, we thought we'd talk about probably the most unique Camry in the country, in the world possibly.
Yes,
at the moment.
I'd say in the world, yep.
And it was built right here in Australia. So you thought manufacturing was dead? No.
Nope.
It's taken a bit of a left turn. To tell us what that turn is, it's a very big behind the wheel welcome to a man known as the Brickman, or to his mum, Ryan McNaught. G'day, Ryan. How are you going?
G'day, boys. Thanks for the intro.
It's good to talk to you, Ryan. Who knew that a Toyota was suddenly going to become so plastic?
Well, the trick is we can actually lay claim now to having the last Camry made in Australia. So all exactly. Those blokes on the assembly line are probably a little bit jealous. They thought they had the record, but we've got it now. Sorry about that.
You've cornered it. And, of course, we should explain that this glorious, gleaming Camry is
a
in
red
fact
one.
A red one,
yeah.
Because it's made out of Lego.
Yeah, about 500,000 of them, to be honest.
Oh, is that all? Right, only 500, yeah.
One, two, skip a few. And, of course, Toyota used to pump one of these machines out about once every 20 seconds. Ours only took a measly 900 hours.
Right.
So we're quite a bit slower than what they are, so I'm not sure we can quite claim assembly line status or anything like that.
Gotcha. I'd hate to think of the bill. I bought Lego last Christmas for someone in my house. And I walked away with, I don't know, I reckon about 500 blocks, and it near broke the bank. 500,000 of them.
Yeah, look at it this way. I probably wouldn't trade you for a couple of Camrys, maybe a few more even.
Right, so okay.
It's a fair way before we get even on that thing. But, it's funny, my first car as a teenager all those years ago was a Camry, so it was a trip down nostalgia lane, so to speak.
Yes, very much so. Now, people who are interested in catching up with it, apart from searching up the pics online, where is it physically at the moment?
Yeah, so we've got our new exhibition. This is our fourth one, which we've done, and it's down at the Melbourne Museum, so just near the Royal Exhibition Building in Carlton.
Yeah. Yep.
And it opened today, actually, and goes on through till the end of April. And people can come down to the exhibition. Of course, it's got a lot of other amazing stuff there as well as the car, like a life-size Harley Davidson made out of Lego.
It
was made of Harley, and you want to talk about making sure that you do the right thing by a group of bikies. I had to absolutely make sure I did the right thing. Because,
a lot on the line there, man.
Mate, I don't want to annoy those guys. So, yeah, we've got lots of cool Lego stuff made.
That's terrific, and it's on now, so that means anyone who's coming to Melbourne for maybe the Formula One Grand Prix, take a bit of time out and opt for something just a little slower. Oh, just marginally slower, not much, just, you know, nip and tuck.
So why Lego, Ryan? You sound like a grown man. What's going on?
Yeah, so I used to be in IT all those years ago. So I was the chief information officer of a media company. And I'm sure you gentlemen have been through a similar situation, and your listeners too. One day I had to have a meeting about the number of meetings we were having. I had that very pivotal moment in my life where I said, nah, hang on, this isn't for me. Why don't I go and do something I love?
Yep.
And having twin boys, I had no choice but to have Lego back in my life with the kids. So, decided to start doing interesting things with it and pushing its boundaries. And it kind of just went from there.
That's fantastic. What happens to it once the exhibition closes?
Well, the car I actually tour around, the exhibition's designed to sort of, you know, tour around the world. So the car itself will tour with the exhibition for many, many years to come. I don't know, you guys being the motoring experts, I'm not sure what its resale value is if we rack it up on car sales or something.
These are 66% of original value, somewhere around there.
Correct, yeah. So I'm not sure what the glass guide is for it, but we'll have to see what it is in years to come.
Fantastic. And I suppose when it's all finished, you break it into a million pieces, scatter it on your lounge room floor, and then walk out at 3 a.m. and stand on it in bare feet.
Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah, all the best for that.
The Brickman, Ryan McNaught. Go see the fantastic exhibition. I've seen some pictures of it. NASA rockets. It just looks like a Lego wonderland on just near the Melbourne Exhibition Buildings. Where was it again, Ryan, exactly?
Yeah, Melbourne Museum. So just come along to the Melbourne Museum. We've been there the last couple of years, so everyone can come along and see it.
Beautiful. Should be good fun. Ryan, thanks heaps.
Cheers, brick on.
Lego Camrys. Who would have thunk, eh?
Yeah, who would have thunk?
I wonder why you'd build a Camry out of Lego. Why wouldn't you be going down the Porsche 911 track?
I was thinking that.
Ferrari 458
yes,
Spider.
Maybe a Maserati, anything. But nothing against the Toyota Camry because it's a fantastic car. And we've had a bit of an experience with the
That's
newly
right.
imported one.
That was the Altiras. No, the...
The Sport.
The Sport that we decided was only really sporty because it had quad exhaust pipes.
It was sporty because it had sport written somewhere, and that was about it.
And it had those running boards that you love as well.
Well, no, they were hinted at, but they weren't actual running boards that you could bark your shins on, no.
I believe the Camry, once called a Vienta, then called an Orion, and now a Camry V6 again, it too, Joel Helms, has quad exhausts?
It does. Yes, it does. Good pickup.
Thank you. Yeah. Does it have sport in its title too?
It doesn't. I've just driven... Oh, well, it does if you have the Ascent Sport.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I don't really think the Ascent Sport is particularly any sportier than the car that I drove, which was the SL, the top spec one.
Right.
I think the sport term is used... you know, with a little bit of creativity and maybe tongue-in-cheek.
Gotcha.
Maybe too. However, the lack of sportiness doesn't really hold it back, does it? Because, really, they're incredibly well-built.
Functional, efficient.
Good to drive, efficient.
And they actually look a bit better now than they have in the past.
And they sell.
So bland.
They sell very well. Yeah. They have done in the past. Your thoughts, Joe?
Oh, I could talk about Camry for hours, to tell you the truth. It's very interesting. When I was driving it yesterday, I had a friend of mine stop and he saw me driving and he stopped. He said, wow, that's an amazing looking car. Mm. He really loved it. And I've got to say, when you're sitting in the top spec one, you would be thinking to yourself, why would I buy a Lexus IS or ES, which is the same size Lexus, when you've got this beautiful, beautiful motor car? It's a lovely car, especially the upper spec one. And you get things like the leather interior and the sunroof and the little pad that recharges your mobile phone without mm-hmm. a cord.
Yep.
Have you been able to get that thing to work?
It works perfectly with my phone.
What do you have? I've got an iPhone. Yep. What do you have to do? I can't figure it out.
You may have an older iPhone than me.
Right.
Oh, so there.
Yes, okay. I'm just
there you go. But I must say, I echo those sentiments about the look of the car, Joel, because when I was driving the slightly slower and four-cylinder version, I must say people were looking at it and saying, oh, wow, they look pretty good, don't they? They've really updated the look. That's good.
Yeah, definitely. It's a car that I think a lot of the time in the past, Camrys were sort of foisted on people. That was your company car, and that's what you got. But I think it's certainly a car now that you'd be happy to have and that people actually like and want to have. And I think that's saying a lot because it's still a very nice car. I've now sampled two-thirds of the lineup. I haven't yet driven the hybrid, but I hear good things about the hybrid. Actually, one of my colleagues has had it, and he was really raving about how efficient it was and quiet.
Well, I remember the old hybrid was actually a pretty good drive, too.
Oh, it was terrific. Yeah, very good.
So I'm looking forward to having a drive of that. But I've got to say, comparing the V6 to the four-cylinder, I would have the four-cylinder any day of the week over the V6.
Is that so?
Unquestionable.
Is that so because of economy or just the drives better? What do you think?
Yeah, well, a couple of things. I thought the four-cylinder moved along more than adequately. I did a lot of Ks over in a couple of different drives. Both at the launch and then having the four-cylinder version for a week. And I didn't feel that it was underdone at all. The V6, although you jump up from 133 kilowatts to a hefty 224 kilowatts, I don't think the V6 is really any faster. It seems to rev a lot. And it seems to it seems to feel like it wants to do a lot. But a little bit underdone. But then do you really want a Camry that has performance, if you know what I mean?
That's a good point.
Yeah, fair enough, too. With the V6 spec, do you get more kind of standard equipment, or does it have the same sort of model lineup, the Ascent, the Altira, the Afuga, Uga, the SL, all their great names?
All right. Well, it's a kind of complex lineup. There's the Ascent, four-cylinder, which is your base model, $27,690, the starting price there. But you can get the SL, which is the top spec. You can get that in the four-cylinder, the hybrid, and the V6. So you're looking at a price premium of $4,000 for the V6. But, when you jump up to 13 litres per 100 per fuel use, I don't see why you justify spending the extra money. And I've got to say, dynamically, there's a big difference between the four-cylinder Camry and the V6. The V6 really feels heavier. It feels a lot heavier over the front wheels.
Probably an extra 100 kilos in it, you'd think, over that front axle.
And it feels, like in a lot of cars that you drive, you're not really conscious of where the engine is, whether it's up the front or up the back or in the middle. You don't really feel it in the drive. You really feel it in the V6 Camry. It feels really... really weighed down, I suppose you'd say, at the front. So, I wasn't a massive fan of that configuration. I much preferred the four-cylinder.
Gotcha. And $4,000 price premium over the top-spec four-cylinder, is that right?
That's correct, yeah. So exactly the same specifications, just the V6 instead of the 4.
So how much is that all up?
That is so the V6 SL, which is what I tested, $43,990.
Wow. Okay. Right. Then again, it's up there with the new Calais, for example, which I think can now be directly shopped against the Camry because they're pretty much the same size. And top spec Camry tends to be a really nice finish, unlike the base spec Calais that we've recently had that we'll talk about more next week. Anyway.
Well, you can ask me the question, which midsize car would I buy?
Yeah.
Okay. Joel, which midsize car would you buy?
I wouldn't buy the Camry. I wouldn't buy the Commodore. I'd still be going for the Skoda Octavia.
Great choice. Great. I was just thinking about Skodas last night and think it's about time we drove one and reviewed one again.
You're right. Yep. Well, in fact, we've got something from the Skoda family coming next week.
Good work.
It's sort of the more upper end of the Skoda family with the Volkswagen badge, but it is the pinnacle of the Volkswagen range, and it's artfully called the Arteon.
Oh, yes, it is.
You've been in that already, Joel.
Yeah, I spent a week in it, and it's been rather late summer in Sydney. It's been very sunny, and it's been very warm. And I wonder if when you have the Volkswagen Arteon and you're driving it around, hopefully in the sunny southern capital, whether or not you find the same things that I found about the interior of the Arteon.
Sounds like we're speaking hot as a crumpet or cold?
No, we're talking about put your sunglasses on.
Ah,
right. Yeah. Too many reflective surfaces.
Yes, nothing worse. Nothing worse.
See how you guys go with that.
And those panoramic sunroofs that you get in some vehicles, if you have the lining back, it's just like being on the beach or something. It's so shiny. So, in other words, don't do that with the Arteon.
Every time I get a girl into the car.
You guys have got hair on top of your head.
Oh, well, mine is numbered and classified by the National Trust, but I know where you're going on this one.
Oh, dear. As always, Joel Helms, great to talk to you. We'll chat again next week, man. Thanks, heaps.
Thanks, guys.
Australian families looking for the ideal vehicle for their needs are often left frustrated. Some vehicles seem to tick all the boxes but then cost the earth. Others are well priced but don't have the space or features that families need. Stop compromising, as there is an option that won't leave you wanting more. The new Havel H9. Boasting a 180kW turbo engine, 8-speed auto, 5-year warranty, real off-road ability, and 7-seat capacity, the Havel H9 just can't be beaten. Visit your local Havel dealership today or havel.com.au. Prevention is better than the cure, especially when it comes to replacing damaged headlights. That's why we recommend fitting Altrek skins to car, truck, and motorcycle headlights. You've heard us talking about Altrek skins as a great way of protecting your car's paintwork. Well, it actually works just as well on your headlights. Simply trim to shape and apply. Pick up a roll at your local auto parts store or order online now at altrex.com.au.
Behind the wheel.
On the road. Accelerated by behindthewheel.com.au.
Yeah, get to the pointy end now. We've got Rachel Franco on the way in the next couple of minutes. She's going to talk back on the whole theme of cars in video clips. And I think it's because she spends most of her Saturday nights with too many glasses of red wine, refusing to go to bed at the normal time, sitting up watching Rage and going, oh, I really like that song and I really like that car in it. Simon Lai, you could see Rachel Franco in that position, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely, but I think she's not going to agree with that.
I was just wondering, maybe you've been round at Rachel's house on a Saturday night and kind of partaken.
No, you know me. I'm out partying hard, hitting all the nightclubs.
Of course you are. And you're a Holden Equinox, I imagine.
Yes. Well, actually, it's more stylish than you think. It's a funny thing with this Equinox. It's got a special feature, you know, to do with the warning systems that vibrates the seat of the driver's seat.
So is it like your lane keep warning thing? Is that how it works?
Yeah, exactly. And collision and all that kind of stuff. And then suddenly, I'm just concentrating on maneuvering the car, and suddenly there's a vibration from underneath.
Driving by the seat of your pants, literally.
Well, exactly, yes. I mean, it is... It is a good feature. You know, it tells you exactly what's going on, but yeah. I found it a little bit distracting.
Right, okay.
Just not used to it.
Okay. I know the new Range Rover Velar, for example, has a feature that's kind of not dissimilar. You get a vibration down the side of the car, not in the seat, but down the side of the car. And I remember the first couple of times it happened, I kind of thought, what's going on? Is the door falling off? Have I just been hit by a truck?
Yes.
It did take me a little while to figure out, oh, okay, right, this is the lane keep assist warning mechanism. I'm not sure I'd be comfortable with it in the seat.
Well, I guess if you own the car, you'd probably get used to it. Right. But for us who, you know, we chop and change cars every week, if no one tells you, it is quite a shock. But,
okay.
Very different.
Right, let's get to the bones of this. The Holden Equinox, it replaces the Holden Captiva, which in my mind was about the most ordinary midsize SUV that your money could buy. And in fact, it's almost like the Camira legacy lived on within the Captiva because they break down all the time. The Equinox, however, changes the game completely because I believe this car is built in Mexico.
It is. That's a very strange origin. And funny you should mention the Range Rover before, because it kind of tries to have that kind of styling. Even something as simple as the Equinox lettering on the side gives you that kind of Range Rover or Jeep kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
And it is really different from the Captiva. I found that was one of the most, ugly SUV designs out there. But this one, it kind of follows more of the standard SUV shape of today. On the inside, it's quite basic. I had the LT, which is the mid-spec model.
Even basic in mid-spec.
Yeah, but still well put together, good fit and finish. You know, there is black plastic and all, but, you know, nicely put together. I mentioned the seats before. They're a nice, durable fabric in a nice grey tone. So everything inside is quite well presentable. The rear seats as well fold down flat, and I mean actually flat.
Really flat, okay.
Yeah, the seat base moves forward to allow for the seat back to come down. And the drive is actually pretty good. I mean, it's only a 2-litre engine, and it seems to go quite well. It has a little bit of vague steering, but in terms of the acceleration and performance, I found that it's more sprightly than I expected.
Well, I believe that the 2-litre four-cylinder turbo that you find under the bonnet of the Equinox is exactly what you find under the bonnet of the new Commodore, which is hooked up to a 9-speed automatic. Do you get the same in the Equinox?
Yeah, that's right. It's quite a lot of gears, isn't it? 9-speed sports automatic.
Like, kind of too many.
I found that surprising. Yeah, it is a bit too many, especially if you choose to use the manual option. I don't know who's going to go flicking through all those gears. You just keep in auto the whole time, I reckon.
Well, we're going to go more into the Commodore next week, but I've tried to take manual control of the Commodore gearbox, thinking, okay, great, we'll bang it in manual. We've got 9 gears to choose from. This is awesome. And every time you want to go to a gear that you maybe technically shouldn't be in, you get a bong and it goes shift denied. It's like computer says no. It's kind of that, you know. And it's like, well, why even have a manual mode if you won't let me really be manual with it?
Yeah, especially in a Commodore. I mean, that's the last thing you need is someone else nagging you in the car.
So the Equinox with its gearbox with too many gears and, I got to say, quite satisfying 2-litre turbocharged four-cylinder under the bonnet. I suppose at the end of the day, people are going to buy a car like this for the interior space. And from what I can tell, the Equinox looks to be a little bigger than its, I suppose, natural competitors, which would be your kind of Nissan X-Trail, your Toyota RAV4, CX-5.
From the outside, the profile looks a bit elongated, and I found that it is spacious. The boot space especially was fine. I had no problem fitting the pram in there, so it is quite roomy in there. And aside from that, it's a little bit different. Like I mentioned, the vibration warning, little things like the switch gear on the inside, they're different from their competitors. They had smooth buttons on the steering wheel. The audio controls were on the back of the steering wheel. So tiny little things like that set it apart.
Is it just me, or is the Holden range, the entire range, becoming a kind of a bit of a mishmash? You know, you jump into a Toyota, you jump into a Honda, you jump into a Mazda, and regardless of what kind of model grade, so let's take Mazda for example, you jump into a little baby CX-3, and you jump into the big CX-9, and the way the dash is laid out, the controls, everything's familiar. It all kind of does the same, and there's that real kind of family resemblance there. But depending on which Holden model you're in can depend on what side the indicator stalk's on, how the font looks, you know, on the yeah. dash. Yeah. We got more of that because I suppose out of Mexico, I don't know of any other Holdens sourced from Mexico these days.
Yeah, funny you should mention that. It actually occurred to me too because I've hopped into a couple of other Holdens and each of them seems to be different, whereas, like you said, other brands, they seem to be quite consistent across the range. And if you've been into one, you know what you're going to expect in the other one. So, yeah, it's a very odd thing.
Indeed. So, okay, mid-size SUV, you've driven pretty much all of them. How does the Holden Equinox squeeze into the food chain? And I'm still, I put my hand up and say Tiguan's number one, closely followed by CX-5.
Yep.
It is a hard one, actually, because everyone's lifting their game. I can't really place it, but I'd have to say it was better than I expected, and they're now producing, well, in some models, vehicles that are more premium and what you didn't think Holden was capable of.
It's got to be better than the Captiva, which is, you know, we're already winning.
Definitely.
There. I believe it's pretty cheap too, isn't it?
Yes, this LT mid-spec model was about 37 grand, so yep, nice and affordable.
Yes, it is that time of the week that we all long for. It's the one we get the most fan mail about. And Rachel Franco, I really must insist that you get yourself a headshot so that we can start printing them and have you autograph them to send to your legions of blokes. From as far as Broome, we've had letters from Christchurch.
Wow.
None from Sydney, though, which is where you live, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, Simon, you're in Sydney. Hey, maybe we could work something out right here.
Cool. You might have some nice friends that you could introduce me to and I can give my signed headshot to.
Yeah, maybe.
Was that just a cut? Was that just one of those backhanded compliments of like, no, Simon, you haven't got a hope, but have you got any good-looking mates? I think it might
have something like that.
Hey, we love reading Rach's bits at behindthewheel.com.au. And I know, because I've already read it, everyone's going to love this week's Cars and Clips, Rach. Tell us a bit about it.
Well, I thought I'd feature a bit of an Aussie classic from Powderfinger.
Excellent.
I'm actually not a massive Powderfinger fan per se, but this particular song I absolutely do love. And I love the song, but I also really love the film clip for it because it features a couple of Commodores.
Gotcha. So we've established how you got to this space because we know most Saturday nights there might be four, maybe five glasses of red. And
yep.
Even though you normally go to bed at kind of 9:30 on a school night, Saturday night, you got to stay up. You got to watch Rage.
Party on.
Is
absolutely.
That what it was? It was like, oh, yep. This song and I love this music clip.
Totally.
Excellent.
Totally.
So yep. I told you I was on the money, Pete.
You got a hidden camera in my house. Yeah, the clip is good old Bernard Fanning lead singer driving down, which I think it's a VC Commodore. It's sort of like that early 80s model, but I'm sure the Commodore aficionados will correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm sure they will.
Yes, they will. But the scene is he's driving down a country road and takes his hands off the wheel and it's all in slow motion. It's all very esoteric and sort of moody and whatever. But he's sort of, the car sort of swerves over the road and then it sort of launches into the whole scenario of it crashing off the road and landing on its roof. But the way they filmed it, it's really, really good. It's a bit distressing seeing a Commodore getting smashed up.
Yeah, it's never nice to see a car being smashed
no.
up.
What about the four passengers?
No,
it wasn't
the car.
Bernard's
fine.
That's a poor car.
The car was just a write-off. And they're travelling behind in another newer Commodore, watching it all unfold. But just the way it's been shot, and there's one particular bit of it where he's sort of starting to go off the road and he's hitting all those white
roadside markers.
Poles. Yep. Yeah. And they're just popping as he's hitting them. I don't know what speed he was doing, but, you know, it was obviously pretty fast, or the stunt driver. But just watching these things explode off the front grille and then the car slowly getting damaged, it's actually very mesmerising. I think it's, like, the song is fantastic, but I think the film clip is what sort of tipped it over the edge in terms of me loving it, to be honest.
Gotcha.
Very well done. I like it.
Simon, are you a Powderfinger fan?
Oh, I like a few of their songs, yeah. I'm a bit of a muser. But that clip really reminds me of one of those road safety ads.
Yeah, it does a bit, doesn't it?
I see, yeah.
Maybe that was subconsciously what they were trying to achieve with it. I don't know.
You can read more about it at the website now, behindthewheel.com.au. And I suppose I think the biggest takeaway, the biggest revelation of this show has happened in the last 15 seconds. Simon saying, I'm a bit of a muso. So if that is the case, Simon, please take it away. We'd like to hear more from the scene.
Oh, is that the time? Oh, geez. Gotta go. See ya.
Havel's just released a new family seven-seater SUV, the Havel H9. A finalist in the 2017 4x4 Australia Awards, the Havel H9 is an impressive SUV, boasting a 180kW turbo engine, smooth 8-speed auto, 5-year warranty, real off-road ability, and 7-seat capacity. The luxurious Havel H9 will take you to the outback and back in complete comfort. It's the ultimate family adventure SUV. Visit your Havel dealer to see what everyone is raving about, or havel.com.au.
One of the smartest and most versatile products in the Altrex Auto Accessories range is Skin's Invisible Protection Film. Apply to your car's headlights or paintwork to protect from stone chips and road debris damage without affecting aerodynamic efficiency or the look of your car. You can use the ultra-thin and strong film on items around your house, such as windows, furniture and white goods. Order a roll now at altrex.com.au or pick some up at your local auto accessory retailer. Skin's Invisible Protection Film. The clear choice in paintwork and headlight protection, and a whole lot more.